Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Studio tonight is Ian,
Nicholas Mountaineer,
and the Captain.
The story that we're going to get back into when we get a chance is from CNBC, where they interview an academic who claims that Bitcoin may not last that much longer. But what does he mean when he says that? That's the headline, but what's the story actually about? We'll get into it a little bit deeper. And I said that I had pulled up the tweets from Elon Musk. It was our last caller who brought up a conflict that he was having online with Elizabeth Warren, who is I guess, senator from Massachusetts, just a really horrible human being. She brought up in, one of her tweets a few days ago, she said, "Let's change the rigged tax code so the person of the year," referring to Elon Musk being, I guess, Time Magazine's person of the year, "will actually pay taxes and stop freeloading off everyone else."
I find it hilarious that somebody who is actually freeloading off of everybody else, a senator.
Yeah, I was going to say, last I checked, her income is strictly government. So,
Captain, had you read Musk's response?
I mean, I see a bunch of stuff. I don't recall.
Because he came at it from a similar perspective.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, "If you opened your eyes for 2 seconds, you'd realize I pay more taxes than any American, or I will pay more taxes than any American in history this year." He said further, "Stop projecting." When Warren said that he was freeloading, he said, "Stop projecting," nice. Calling her a fraud, and saying, "You remind me of when I was a kid and my friend's angry mom would just randomly yell at everyone for no reason. Please don't call the manager on me, Senator Karen," he said. And then further added in another tweet, said to Warren, "Don't spend it all at once." Oh, wait, you did already.
That's pretty good.
Zing. And, Pinkless, you'd referenced another tweet that he made recently that the USA Today is obviously not going to bring up here, where he just calls out the government, the state in general, for being what it is, which is a monopoly on violence. Now, we don't have that particular tweet on us right now, but
I mean, if you take the idea of a corporation to its natural deepest extent, like, the most corporation that a corporation can be is a government.
Yes,
and it's the granddaddy of all corporations.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and not just in that it does bestow the title of corporation on companies,
correct,
and thus giving them this terrible legal shield that means that none of them will be responsible for any of their actions, but also it just operates in exactly the same manner as a corporation.
I have used that particular fact with sort of my lefty-leaning friends who are all anti-corporation. And I'm like, okay, well, what don't you like about corporations? Well, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like blah, 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 this and that. And I'm like, okay, now, all of those things that you don't like about corporations, would it be safe to say you also don't like about the entity known as government? And that's where they start doing the mental gymnastics about, you know, well, without the government, we would blah, 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 blah. But when, in fact, they're the same exact things.
Yeah, they're a company whose export is force.
Yes.
That's all it is. And, I mean, if you talk to a lot of the lefties, and they're like, well, do you want Walt Disney to take over the world? And it's like, well, hold on a second. So let's look at, say, the most iconic thing about the Disney Corporation, the little Mickey, you know, insignia.
Okay.
Why can't I use that? You know, why can't I make a Mickey Mouse cartoon? Well, because the government will come after me.
That's right.
And they can't pay for the enforcement of copyright on every single piece of property that they own throughout the world and certainly throughout the United States. That's expensive. They can't afford that. But if they can outsource the force to this great big corporation that leads the government
and socialize its cost, right, force everyone to pay for it.
Exactly.
But, you know, to Elon Musk's credit, he's got this thing down. You guys give me enough time to actually pull up a Reason.com story. This was a little over a week ago. So before he got into it with Elizabeth Warren, he was on, let's see if I can give credit to where this was, Wall Street Journal tech columnist was interviewing him. And in this interview, he says, the government is simply the biggest corporation with a monopoly on violence and where you have no recourse.
Yes.
And that's another important point is they make it seem like you do because they have this court system. And, oh, yeah, of course.
You can vote the bums out.
Right. But it's, that's just an illusion. And he goes on. He says here, he says, I think the role of government should be that of a referee, but not a player on the field. Government should try to get out of the way and not impede progress.
Oh, I mean, yes. And if you take that to its natural conclusion, you would find that it's a completely useless institution.
Yeah. And that's not an anarchist statement, per se, but he's definitely flirting with some similar ideas.
Yeah.
So kudos to him.
Certainly read up on some libertarian ideology, perhaps some anarcho-capitalist leanings.
Its very existence impedes progress inherently.
Yes, that's what they do.
Everything that it does impedes progress.
Yep. I want to go to Ken. He's in Alabama listening in Birmingham. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, good evening. Just wondered if you guys happened to see Steve Bannon's program that's called The War Room on America's Voice TV network.
Yeah.
In my opinion, one of the better political programs out there.
I don't watch political shows. I just don't care.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's free to watch. If your cable doesn't have it, you can see it on Roku for free or on their app for free. He interviewed this guy by the last name of Beatty, who runs the website Revolver, and he's been doing deep research into January 6th. He's already shown one guy that was the ringleader in egging everybody to go into the Capitol, but now today they have new video evidence about five people that were hanging around, I believe he said, the Freedom Monument. And as soon as Trump started speaking, they went into action and started cutting the fence and everything to clear the way for the rioters to go into the Capitol. So all I'm saying is the rabbit hole of government involvement on January the 6th, gets deeper and deeper.
So you're saying this guy's suggesting that these men clearing the fence or cutting the fence were government agents and that they were encouraging people. And there has been other, you know, video footage, for instance, guards at the Capitol just opening up side doors, apparently, and waving people in. So
it's certainly in the government's best interest to have this event that they can point at and say, see, you need more government because an insurrection can occur.
Right, we need more police, right? Is that what you're saying, Ken?
Exactly. And anyway, these guys either were government agents or are certainly working for the government, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to throw that out there.
Interesting.
And enjoy your program, and I'll say thank you so much, and good evening.
Pleasure. Thanks for the call tonight, Ken. I appreciate it.
The thing about the January 6th, the whole thing is, I mean, is it that easy to just walk in and take over the capital of the United States of America?
Apparently it was,
like,
in that case.
I mean, for the largest empire to ever exist on planet Earth.
You'd think it'd be a little bit trickier to, like, force them to stop.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, as soon as they start breaching the Capitol, everyone's got to be, you know, taken out of that building because they don't want these insurrectionists to find them. So they can't be, you know, involved in legislating at that point.
Even though the only person who was shot on that day was one of the unauthorized tourers who was shot and killed by a federal police agent.
I mean, I've seen better security at thrash metal shows or kids trying to get into a mosh pit than I saw on that day.
Well, that's just the question then. Is it a planned thing where they wanted these people to come in and make this show? Or is it just that the federal government is completely incompetent and they really were overrun by these people?
I think yes.
Both.
More importantly, the planned thing, I think. One of the things that I've always seen is that when you are breaching an area that you are supposed to be denied access to, depending on how difficult it is, will determine how destructive you are once you get in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was basically no resistance whatsoever to them entering the Capitol, which is why as soon as they got in there, it literally looked in a lot of the footage, not all of it, like an unauthorized tour.
Yep.
Like they're not breaking things, they're not burning things, they're, you know, farting on a desk.
There's more coming up here. It was a disappointment. More coming up here. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything here on Free Talk.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, folks. If you want to join us live Saturday show, as 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And we are giving away a bid box coming up here in within the next couple of weeks, probably New Year's Eve. We'll have a special New Year's Eve Free Your Talk Live, which is our after show. And on occasion, we do on our internet feeds only. So you don't have to adhere to FCC rules on those shows, which makes it a little more interesting.
I would love to do more of that, but, like, if I get comfortable cussing in an environment...
It can be risky.
If an episode of that could be done not here, so that my environment is different, then I could keep the two straight.
That makes sense. Yeah. But we will be doing it likely New Year's Eve, and then we're going to give away a BitBox, which is a open source, 100% open source hardware cryptocurrency wallet. If you've got Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you probably want to check out the BitBox. It's a pretty interesting little piece of hardware at box.freetalklive.com is where you can learn more about it. You can also order yours for 5% off with using code FTL, like Free Talk Live. But we're going to give one away on New Year's Eve, only, though, to somebody who's in the AMPS program, so it'll be an extra perk if you are a member of AMP. So head over to amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there. Let's go to David. He's in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, David.
Yeah, recourse against the government. You mentioned that a few moments ago, that there's you'd like to get it, but there's not much good way to get it. And let me tie that into Jet's suggestions. Mm-hmm. And let me also tie it into, I believe there were some thugs that smashed through some windows and walls and flew some spy equipment into your presence and then pointed guns at people and took them hostage and demanded to see them naked and stuff like that. And you probably don't even know any of those people's names, because I'd like to know their names. I think America should know their names, so we probably don't know their names. But here's where it ties in. And I've been once again being mocked again recently for not letting go of this after 14 years. But you know what? If the FBI, these thugs that did what I just laid out to you, and you know full well what they did because they did it to you, if they did that to me, I think 14 years later, I'd still be as pissed as I am now thinking about it being done to somebody who's not me. Yeah. And I think I'd still be ranting about it. And I think if I knew their names, I would share their names with America. And that's why I continue after 14 years to make factual statements like Judge M. Monica Zamora in New Mexico and Judge John J. Romero Jr. have been adjudicated by the New Mexico Court of Appeals with a unanimous three-judge panel decision in my favor, David Olson, saying that Judge M. Monica Zamora and Judge John J. Romero Jr. illegally trafficked my children.
But of course, as you know, there's been no recourse. There's been no punishment for those people.
No, that is the recourse. That is the recourse. Right now, my screaming voice is being heard all over the state of New Mexico.
So being heard is recourse? I disagree.
Will you let me finish?
Well, he disagrees.
You mock me. The family.
I'm not mocking you.
Yeah, I don't think that's mocking. It's just a calm disagreement.
Romero.
Yeah, he's just going. All right. Well, thanks for the call tonight. We heard you, but it's not recourse. Why?
Well, number one, it doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. So, like, he's lost something.
He's still
lost,
angry.
And I mean, to lose the ability to raise your own children is an extraordinary toll to put on someone. And to do so when you haven't earned. I mean, because, like, sure, if you're abusing them, then it makes sense that you don't get to raise them anymore. Mm-hmm. But when that isn't the case, and nothing like that is the case, it is a terrible thing to take that from you. And if you get nothing for that, then you don't really have recourse. And number two, all of those people that did that are still doing it.
Yeah. To other people.
To other people. Yeah. Right. So you haven't been restored, and they're still committing the crime. That's why that's not recourse. I mean, the only recourse I know of in general for all of these criminals is to move out of their money.
Yeah, because if you are still living, or if you're another person living nearby where David lives in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area, and you also have a child with somebody, and the divorce happens, and things go south, and it's not amicable, and then you end up in front of M. Monica Zamora, then if you've heard David ranting about her on the air, you may know what you're in for, but you're not going to be able to say, "Oh, Ms. Zamora, I'm sorry, you're going to need to recuse yourself. I know who you are, and I know what you did to David Olson." It's not going to work. She's just going to say, "Well, I'll do whatever I want to."
I'm the appointed judge on this case.
Yeah. Quiet, surf.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are much, much more blatant cases of you obviously are supposed to recuse yourself from this case. You obviously
don't.
Obviously, and very well documentedly have this, that, and the other conflict of interest. They never do.
Yeah.
Let's get back into Bitcoin here. So there's an academic. He's making headlines. His name is Eswar Prasad. He's a professor of international trade policy at Cornell University. And he says that Bitcoin may not last that much longer. But as it turns out, that's not because he's against cryptocurrency. So let's dig a little bit deeper here from CNBC.com. He points out that, quote, "Bitcoin's use of blockchain technology is not very efficient." He's apparently the author of The Future of Money, How the Digital Revolution is Transforming Currencies and Finance. So it sounds like he might have done a little bit of research here. The cryptocurrency, quote, "uses a validation mechanism for transactions that is environmentally destructive and doesn't scale up very well." Now, I'm not so concerned about the energy use of Bitcoin because the fact is it's way overblown by the people who are concerned about it.
Oh, yeah, by a huge margin.
And secondly, it's a fraction of what the banking system's energy usage is. So if indeed Bitcoin is going to compete with and eventually supplant or replace the banking system, you actually end up with lower energy usage. Plus, Bitcoin mining drives innovation because there's so much demand for mining hardware. People want that mining hardware to become more efficient, and they, that means that the people who are making it, they got to get cracking and they got to make better better products.
Well, and the whole nature of the energy use for Bitcoin is completely different. So, I mean, if you cannot get basically really excess energy or very, very cheap energy, then you can't mine Bitcoin efficiently
or affordably.
So you have, so you have to go somewhere else where there's extra electricity, which is to say where they're not charging as much for it.
There's a surplus.
Right, where there's a surplus of electricity being generated, and there you can mine better. And it's amazing because, like, if you tried to take that electricity from, you know, this hydroelectric electric dam, you know, across three states, like, that's if it's even possible, it's going to be very expensive to do
so. You gotta pay for it, yeah.
But through through changing where you're mining, you can take that energy where it is, and that value can be traded throughout the world at very little cost.
But his point about not scaling very well, he's absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
Bitcoin itself, the original BTC Bitcoin, the number one crypto out there, it is not built to scale.
Yeah, the only real way of scaling it is to put a second layer on it, like with the Lightning Network.
But then you lose your decentralization, because Lightning is a centralized solution. And that takes away from the value of Bitcoin as a decentralized project.
It sounded, so, it sounded to me like the author was maybe hinting at the difference between proof of work or proof of stake.
Well, he does point out that other cryptocurrencies, newer ones, use blockchain tech more efficiently than Bitcoin does. For instance, a lot of newer blockchains, they have settlements much faster than, 1 minute, if not several seconds, whereas Bitcoin is 10 minutes on average before a block gets mined and the transactions get finalized. There's more coming up here in moments. We'll share more from the critique of Bitcoin. And it might
first, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is continuing his tour Saturday through the areas in Kentucky which were devastated by last weekend's tornadoes. McConnell saying that there is a looming economic reality that municipalities are facing as they attempt to recover and rebuild.
After this first period of 30 days where the federal government picks up the entire cost of the cleanup, you get into a much more challenging period. How do you build back? How do you pay for it?
Governor Andy Beshear saying 78 people have died from the tornadoes in Kentucky, and adding that everyone reported missing has been accounted for. A federal appeals court is reinstating the Biden administration's vaccine or test mandate for companies with 100 or more employees. This coming after the mandate was blocked in November by a lower court. USA Radio News. The United Postal Service is reaching a settlement. From the USA Radio News Cape Cod Bureau, Chris Barnes explains.
The U.S. Postal Service is reaching a settlement with the NAACP over mail delays and their effect on election ballots. The Postal Service has agreed to take what it calls extraordinary measures to get ballots delivered for the 2022 midterm elections. Weekly reports will be provided on service performance starting 6 weeks before the actual elections. Mail-in ballot guidance will also be publicly posted no later than February 1st for federal primary elections and October 1st for general elections. The NAACP filed the lawsuit in 2020 arguing that changes made in the delivery system made it unreliable and led to confusion before the election.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden spending the weekend in Delaware. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's Ian.
And the captain.
And don't forget, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. Lots of features await you, including a social media website that you can access and you can create posts on for your own account that Twitter and Facebook have no control over. When you're over at social.freetalklive.com, you get out from under the thumb of the big tech corporations, and you come onto a server that we run, so we get to decide what goes on there. It's a Mastodon server, which anybody that knows, you know, Linux servers can put one of these things online. That's why there are thousands of Mastodon servers all around the planet. We got one, too, and our policy is to pretty much allow people to post whatever they want, with the exception of spam, basically. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. You can create your own profile there, and you can reach out to the rest of the Mastodon network. So if you know people on other Mastodon servers, you want to follow them from our server, you can do that. Head over to social.freetalklive.com. So we're getting into some critiques here of Bitcoin. The academic in this case is Eswar Prasad, a professor of international trade policy at Cornell. He's written a book, The Future of Money, How the Digital Revolution is Transforming Currencies and Finance. And he does have a critique that is valid of Bitcoin BTC, and that is it doesn't scale very well. Now, that's not the fault of Satoshi Nakamoto. That's the fault of the current Bitcoin programmers,
right,
who refuse to allow Bitcoin to scale.
Right.
So, I mean, to take you back a little ways, the history of this, as I understand it, was that initially Bitcoin did not have a block size limitation, and they put one into place early on due to people spamming transactions or something into the blockchain. I don't know all the details about that. But
now, what I wonder is, are there going to be other Layer 2 solutions like the Lightning Network that then compete with Lightning? And do eventually these transactions go so far toward these Layer 2 solutions that the miners go, hey, we're not getting all of our fees anymore, and then actually change the code so that it's functional again?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I mean, I not knowing a whole lot about Lightning besides being confused generally by how one would set up all the Lightning stuff that one needs to do, it seems like a real confusing mess. And it seems to me that any of these Layer 2 so-called solutions, which for listeners that don't know, these are programming that lies on top of the first layer, which is native Bitcoin sending transactions at whatever the cost might be.
It's basically, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's basically, hey, I've got some Bitcoin. Instead of you having to pay for this transaction, tell me about it, and I will just swap it in these accounts, and eventually I'll put it on the blockchain.
Right, which requires you to trust a centralized authority, and that is counter to the whole mission of Bitcoin. So to me, Lightning and whatever else they cook up is not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in decentralized solutions for money, and if you can't get it with Bitcoin, you can go somewhere else. And that's ultimately what this guy is saying, is there are other options out there. As he says, there are newer cryptos that use the technology more efficiently than Bitcoin, and it should, because it's been a decade, 13 years, I think, coming up in January since Bitcoin first came out. So you better believe there's better tech out there. It's just it doesn't have the name recognition. It doesn't have the staying power. It hasn't been around yet. Yeah. He believes blockchain will be fundamentally transformative in the way that finance is done, and arguably already has been, and in the way we conduct our day-to-day transactions, like buying a house or buying a car. He said, given that Bitcoin is not serving well as a medium of exchange, I don't think it's going to have any fundamental value other than whatever investors' faith leads it to have.
Well, so one of the things for me, I think, on this is he's not addressing basically Peter Schiff's argument. Is like, well, since this is an electronic thing, since this is all just programming, and we know that software can be copied, mm-hmm. Well, what's to keep people from just copying Bitcoin?
They did.
And yes, they did.
It's been copied thousands of times.
Right. And that's basically a lot of the value that people put into Bitcoin per se, beyond it being, the Kleenex of facial tissues, mm-hmm. is that it is the first decentralized cryptographic blockchain technology. So all of these other decentralized cryptographic blockchain technologies, well, those are just, knockoffs of the Mona Lisa in a lot of people's opinions.
Well, and that's, for now, for where we are now, that's the way it is being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because people aren't yet using cryptocurrency as currency. They're not yet using it, I mean, widely.
Yeah.
It's being used as a savings tool, and the people who are pimping Bitcoin primarily are pimping it in that way. They're saying, oh, this is a great way to save your money. This is a great way to protect you from the ravages of inflation. And it seems like that's a true statement. However, that's not what the vision for Bitcoin was. When you go and you look at the white paper by Satoshi Nakamoto, who again is anonymous, we don't know who he or she happens to be, or they, might have been a group of people, but it's titled Peer-to-Peer Electronic Cash.
Yeah.
So Satoshi's intention was that this was going to be used as a way to transact, as a way to send value from one person to another with very, very low fees. But because that block size was put into place and never removed by the programmers, never increased, there's a very hard limit to the number of transactions per second that Bitcoin can do. And I think it's like 7.
Yeah, it's not very much.
It's not at the level of a Visa or a MasterCard or a PayPal, you know, these payment systems that people are so familiar with out there. Those things can handle, I don't know, thousands and thousands of transactions per second.
And it's not because the hardware can't handle that many transactions.
Right.
It's because they've programmed this...
it's an arbitrary limit.
This transaction ceiling, if you will.
Yeah. To use an automotive term, it's a governor.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so that's why Bitcoin Cash was formed in 2017 when there was an impasse that had been reached where the main programmers are saying, well, we're not going to change it. And some other people say, well, we think you should change it, but if you're not going to change it, we'll just do what they call a hard fork, and we're going to split this chain, this blockchain, into two competing chains. And that's where Bitcoin Cash came from. And they did increase the block size. And then Bitcoin SV increased it even more, and there's all kinds of options.
Which, for just like a guy who is interested in it but not a developer, you know, having OG Bitcoin, right, the original Bitcoin, and then having that before the first fork into Bitcoin Cash and the one into Bitcoin SV, that gives you sort of a leg up on these things because you automatically get some when they fork.
Yeah, you have the same amount of both of the new things. But, you know, this is all, to go back to the point, people still aren't used to using cryptocurrency as currency, so there's not a high demand for there to be another thing. So, for instance, here in Keene, New Hampshire, we're an exception to that rule, where we actually live in a place where you can go to multiple restaurants, you can go get your car fixed.
We come from the future. The future.
There's a doctor in town. There's a dentist in town. There's, you know, a barber. There's
automotive
a hair salon. Automotive. So, like, there's a bunch of different places you can go and actually spend cryptocurrency. That doesn't exist in most of the places in the world. And most of the people who have Bitcoin, again, they've been trained that, oh, you just save with this. Money, number go up. I'll just hodl it, as they say, and number go up. And then someday I'll sell it for dollars. And that's kind of what their whole plan is. And it's, again, contrary to what the vision for Bitcoin was. But if and when people actually start to use cryptocurrencies as currency, then there will be a demand, because what will happen is Bitcoin, they'll start trying to use Bitcoin, and then they'll notice that it's 25 cents for a transaction fee, and then it's a dollar for a transaction, because as it gets more popular, that ceiling gets hit real fast, and the fees to transact start going up. And that's when people start saying, hey, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Can I find something that might work? And then they find out about Bitcoin Cash or Dash, which is another good one that you can spend very, very low fees. And there's some other ones out there. But those right now, those particular currencies, if you look at like the CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko.com and you look, I think Bitcoin Cash has dropped out of the top 20 the last time I looked. Dash was in like 70 or 80 or something as far as the numbers, the top 100. Dash used to be a number 5 cryptocurrency a few years ago. And it's just that the market isn't demanding it for those reasons. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll get to that point someday. And then
still early days.
Something can rise up and take over Bitcoin's number 1 slot. There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160. And you're right, Captain. It is still really early in this whole situation with cryptocurrency. You're welcome to share your thoughts. This is Free Talk Live.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah! Yep, it is Free Talk Live, number 603-283-6160. If you dial in now, we can get you on. But if you don't get in tonight, that's okay. The captain will be here tomorrow night.
I will.
For the live Sunday show. We do this live 7 nights a week. Plenty of time for you to join us and bring up
a reverend on Sunday?
That you are indeed.
Weird.
603-283-6160. Online, you can join us over at freetalklive.com. Lots of features are there, including our podcast. If you want to subscribe to the RSS feed and be automatically sent all of the new episodes of Free Talk Live as they are released, then you can just go to feeds.freetalklive.com to find those links. You copy the one that's right for you and put it into your favorite podcast client, and then, boom, you don't even have to visit our website anymore, which is bad for our website hits, but good for you because it takes out one step to getting the archives.
You get to be more lazy.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's right there when you wake up in the morning, right? So, once again, go to feeds.freetalklive.com. We're sharing with you some critiques, and mostly valid critiques, from Eswar Prasad. He's a professor of international trade policy at Cornell University, regarding Bitcoin. And as he points out here, Bitcoin just doesn't scale very well. Now, as we've explained, without getting too technical, there's a thing called the block size, and the Bitcoin programmers refuse to increase that block size. So all they would have to do is just take it from 1 megabyte to 2 megabytes, and they would double the capacity every roughly 10 minutes for the blocks, and the blocks that are basically the data blockchain is this technology that is this open source ledger that there's copies of it distributed all around the planet, and so it's essentially you can't cook the books with the blockchain. And so roughly every 10 minutes, but sometimes more often, sometimes less often, the blocks are mined into the blockchain, and the blocks contain the data of all the transactions that happened prior to the block being mined. So they could have doubled that block size, or tripled it, or quadrupled it, or whatever, you know, 10x'd it if they'd wanted to. But they refuse to do so. Now, there's conspiracy theories as to why that is the case, but it is the case, and that's where we find ourselves today. So I'm going to go on with just a couple more of his thoughts. He says, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, uses a validation mechanism for transactions. Oh, he already said that. That's environmentally destructive. We addressed that. There's way more electricity being used by the banking system than Bitcoin. He says that given that Bitcoin is not serving well as a medium of exchange, I don't think it's going to have any fundamental value other than what investors' faith leads it to have. And for now, that's a lot. You know, $46,000 per Bitcoin. I don't see that's going to, you know, go down very much more, but we don't know what the future holds. It seems like Bitcoin is still, as you said, Captain, in its early days, and it's still the number one crypto. It's still got the name recognition out there. If you hit the streets, I do wonder how many people would be able to identify what Ethereum is. You know, yeah, if you did a man on the street interview, how many people know what Ethereum is? And that's the number two cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And if you hit number three, I can't even tell you what number three is. I think it's Binance Coin right now.
It is interesting to note as a side topic that Ethereum is also experiencing its own sort of fees.
Oh my God, it's
debacle.
Worse than Bitcoin.
And like
Ethereum's fees are horrifying.
Like, as a guy who used to do like QA stuff and a couple of different software, hardware companies, like I get not wanting to sort of raise the cap on the blocks. Right, sort of, you know, double it or triple it or whatever, or open it wide open because that could be a destructive thing. But there's been enough time now and enough other cryptocurrencies to show that if you do raise the size of the blocks, that it has no ill effect on your cryptocurrency.
No, it lowers the fees.
Yeah.
It's actually good.
Yeah.
But they won't do it.
I mean, I guess I could see from their point of view why they would want to be like, you don't want to be that one miner that, like, hey, I happened to mine a block immediately after this other person, so there weren't any transactions, so I got nothing for this.
No, you would still get the block reward, which at this time is 6.25 Bitcoin.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
But still, even at this point, like, most of the money they're making is from the mining fees, isn't it?
I am not sure about that. That's a good question, because what you're referring to is that when the miner finds the block, they get whatever the fees are, the transaction fees were for all the transactions in that block, and they get the block reward, which is 6 Bitcoin right now. So you're talking about, you know, quite a bit of money, and that reward does go, it gets cut in half roughly every 3 years. So eventually it's going to be 3.125 or whatever, and then it's going to be half of that. And it's on the, you know, on 100 years down the line, there'll still be some amount. And the idea is that the value of Bitcoin will go up constantly. And so even though it's going to be 3 Bitcoin in another couple of years, it'll still be a significant amount.
Right.
So it's not the end of the world if you find a, you know, nearly empty block. But going on, he says, more generally, cryptocurrencies have, quote, lit a fire under central banks to start thinking about issuing digital versions of their own currencies. And that is a very bad thing.
Well, it's bad for the banks.
It's bad for the banks. It's also bad for the individuals because a government-run currency or a government-run digital currency, which is what they're talking about here. That's what a central bank digital currency is. That's the digital dollar.
Yeah.
And I don't mean digital in that your credit cards are digital dollars.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how different from what we're using now would that be?
Good question.
Credit cards, debit cards, well, they're all electronic anyway.
What's insane about what the author is writing about is that cryptocurrency, that is something like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, is far different than a bank-issued digital currency.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to compete with cryptocurrency by making a digital version of government currency.
Right.
And that's not the same thing. It's not apples to apples. It's going
to
fail.
Well, to answer your question, though, Piklos, the question is, what's the difference between the crypto or the digital dollars we have in the form of, say, debit cards or dollars in bank accounts versus what they're talking about doing with a central bank digital currency? That's the question.
Yeah.
There's a couple of important points on this. One, it essentially means everyone would have an account with the Federal Reserve. So every taxpayer, for instance, would have an account with the government instead of with a local bank. Mm. In theory, the local banks could still try to compete in some way, but ultimately the government gang could move to issuing welfare checks, to issuing taxpayer refunds and things like that. Any sort of government disbursement, which right now goes into a bank account or is sent on a debit card, would then just go straight into your account with the Federal Reserve. And then, of course, that gives the government total control, total ability to, you know, panopticon, see every transaction. They can get that by subpoenaing Visa or MasterCard or your local bank, but there's that extra step involved.
Yep.
Now you'd be talking about they have that. That is their account.
Not that it ever happens, but hypothetically, your commercial bank could, they definitely could slow down the process. And hypothetically, they could tell the government no, not that they ever do.
Yes,
but,
that's
correct. It definitely seems like...
You're talking about cutting out all of that and having a direct account with the Federal Reserve.
Well, if I was running a commercial bank, I would definitely be looking into crypto, because it looks like the commercial banks are getting cut out completely from where they're heading, from where society is headed in the minds of these world controllers.
Well, they haven't made it official in the United States yet, but they are investigating it. They're coming out with papers and they're doing research, and other countries around the world are doing this. China, I believe Nigeria has actually rolled one out at this point, from what I understand. So imagine total government control over people's accounts, and you know they want to freeze your account. They don't have to go in and knock on anybody's door.
So they can only be the lender of first resort.
But they can only do that with the government currency. They can't
Correct.
Do that. They can't hold my Bitcoin, for example, in their Federal Reserve account unless I convert it to USD and place it in that account. So as long as they keep doing what they're doing, which is devaluing their own government currency, right? The USD has lost and lost and lost, keeps losing value day after day after day. Hyperinflation we might see in our lifetime. I don't see a mathematical way out of it. So as long as they keep doing that, all this, it's just gyration. They're just gyrated. They're just trying to do something that maybe kind of might compete. That sounds to people like it might be kind of the same thing and have the value of like a Bitcoin or a Bitcoin Cash or something
Except
like that.
Except it'll have the value of a dollar, which means it'll be worth less and less and less over time.
Well, you had it at the first worthless.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the idea here, and it's not good.
Mm.
And that's likely where they're going to go, because why wouldn't they? They want more control.
Of course.
And this gives them total control over at least the dollar in this particular case.
Yeah.
And, of course, allows them to easily inflate the money supply.
But they move at the pace of a sloth.
They do.
I mean,
it's going to be years.
There's still breaks in government schooling, which were put into place because at the time it was created, it was because everybody was a farmer and they needed to let kids out to go help with the harvest, right? They can't even do away with that. So,
and the other thing is, this will also help them get rid of cash as well.
That's the motivation.
They've always wanted to
do. Right. That's the motivation that's currently fueling all of this, is they want to get rid of cash.
Right, because they want total control and the ability to observe everything you do financially, which is why they hate things like Monero, one of the privacy coins that is competing with Bitcoin. Again, another great cryptocurrency that's dropped out of the top 20. Yeah. I think it's, 30 or something right now? Anyway, out of time tonight. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget, we're here live every single night, so join us for tomorrow night's show, 7 to 10 o'clock at night, Eastern Time. See you then. Online in the meantime, Free Talk Live.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented.
Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.